Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thanks, everyone at home, wherever you are. I hope church has been going fantastic for you. Interesting, last week we had a time after church where it got pretty rough at home, and all the boys, and if you don't know us, we have a 16 and a 17-year-old, and it was like a bomb went off after church, and we were, well, I don't know whether it was me, but my boys were certainly wrestling and flicking tea towels. Not that you should do that, but they were having a good wrestle after church, and I could have been involved, but it was probably Malcolm, my imaginary friend. That was probably him that was involved. So it was a lot of fun, but I know church is different at the moment, but it is fantastic. And so I just want to encourage you to keep enjoying and engaging in the process that we have right at the moment. And so today I would love to speak on the subject of God will find a way. But before I do that, I just had a real sense to pray for the police men and women in our state after the loss of life this week. And I consider the families and friends of those that were lost. And so I'd love to just take a moment to pray for them, if you would pray with me. Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that Andy's already shared about Anzac Day and those who are in service to us. When we think of those who are at a more local level and our police men and women. And Father, I pray that your peace and your comfort is upon those family members and friends and other police members who've lost their lives this week. And I think of those in our congregation who are a part of the police force. And Father, I pray for each of those, as it's been a big hit for them this week, that, Lord, that they would be able to lean on you in and through that process, even if they don't know you, that they would get a word of encouragement. And so, Father, we just thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So God will find a way. If you want to follow with me from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And it's entitled The Fellowship of the Believers. And Graham shared a little bit about this last week from this, and it was a fantastic message about the haves and the have-nots and us being able to help others who are in need. And so if we read from verse 42, and it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as many had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved." When Jesus began his ministry, there were 12 disciples he called within about a year of the start of that ministry. Within 3 years, after he had died and risen, accounts say about 500 people saw his ascension. Over the 2,000 years since, God's church, people not buildings, has continued to grow, sometimes slowly, sometimes steadily, and sometimes with large increases over shorter periods of time. Over all those years, God's church has been through famine, slavery, plagues, war, persecution, and more, even viruses. And as we see today, we can see that the church is still moving forward and moving on, and people are continuing to turn to Christ for the answer. We serve a God who has always found a way. A couple of people have asked me at the moment whether they think that are we in end times with all that's going on. Well, I said I don't know and I don't want to get caught up in that. But I'll tell you this. We currently have more information, more technology, more education, more money, and a greater understanding of medical science than ever before. These are things that people rely on. And yet this virus has virtually brought the whole world to a standstill. And through this, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus said, in this world there will be trouble, but behold, I have overcome the world. With God, we will find a way. If you could turn to Acts 8, and I think it will be on the screen in front of you. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read verse 1 and 3. And it says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. They were locked up in their homes, so to speak. They were scattered into different areas. And in verse 3 we said, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house. Make note of that. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. This was about 5 years after Jesus' ascension and just before Saul, his conversion when he became Paul. The church, the people, had increased in number dramatically. And as we see in Acts 1:15, the church grew like this. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Now, this is before Pentecost. And there was about 120 believers, they say. And then we see in Acts 2:41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Now, this was at Pentecost. 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And in Acts 4 and verse 4, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. Now it says 5,000 men. Now that would be 5,000 plus because there would be men and women. And so we're looking at a massive increase in the church. If we have a look at Acts 5:14, it says, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. In Acts 5:28, and there was a little bit of a typo there that I've put in, so excuse me in that. 5:28 says, talked about Jerusalem being filled with your teaching. Now, Jerusalem, I've got 200,000 there, but it's actually somewhere between 30 and 50,000. Now, we think of how many people were added to the church. It says the teaching had filled Jerusalem. And we see in Acts 6 and verse 1, it continued increasing. In Acts 9, we see Paul's conversion following Acts 8, which we read earlier when the persecution was happening. Notice the very person, the very situation who was persecuting the church, the very person who was persecuting the church, the people of God, not buildings, the people of God, ended up being used by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and thousands upon thousands heard the good news and were added to the kingdom of God. God found a way. In Acts 21 and verse 20, and I'm not sure whether that one's on the screens for you, This is really important to read. It says, after hearing this, they praised God. And then they said, you know, dear brother, how many thousands of Jews have also believed, and they all follow the law of Moses very seriously. Thousands of Jews in a city of 30 to 50,000. We see that God's word spread 30 years, about 30 years after the ascension of Jesus. How did the church grow? Well, before I say this, remember it's God who grows the church. It's God who brings the harvest. In Acts 5:42, we see, and every single day in the temple area and in homes, every single day in the temple area and in homes, they did not stop. They didn't stop. Even through persecution, they did not stop. Even through things not going the right way, they did not stop. Teaching and telling the good news of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And we see in Acts 20:20, and this is ones before Paul was persecuting and ones after Paul was saved. It says, you know how I did not shrink back in fear from telling you anything that was for your benefit, or from teaching you in public meetings and from house to house. In public meetings and from house to house. You notice Paul, back when he was persecuting, he went from house to house, persecuting people and getting them thrown into jail. Here we see, 14 chapters later in the book of Acts, about 25 years later, he went teaching from house to house. So how did it happen? Well, it happened in public meetings. They met in public meetings, as the scripture says, or in the temple area, or secondly, they met in homes. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Wasn't anything great about, particularly great about them, but it was about the power of the Holy Spirit. And they did it gathering together, and they did it in homes and in a larger setting. At the moment, church looks a little different to what we are used to, but why can't we continue to grow? Why can't we continue to grow? Pastor Andy has set out growth, or grow, as our theme for this year. Why can't we continue to grow? Following the persecution that Saul brought, why couldn't the church continue to grow? Following a virus, why can't the church continue to grow? God will find a way. All we have to do is be available. God will bring the harvest. All we have to do is be available. All you have to do is be available. All I have to do is be available. Today we're in a situation where it is difficult to do both of those things. But what an awesome opportunity we still have to connect with others at this time. Community in some form is so important. I was talking to one of our life group leaders last week, and they said that they meet on Fridays, and they said that they would struggle to meet during, you know, I guess normal times, times of normality. But during this time, through technology and through Zoom, they've been able to meet once a week, and they said that it's been just so important for them to be able to do. And so it's been really interesting speaking to different people about how they're connecting through this time. So this could change things for the future very much. This could be a real positive for the future. Now, who would have thought, when technology is such a difficulty at home, telling the kids, can you get off technology? Can you please not spend so much time on your phone? Can you please spend so much time, not so much time in front of the computer? Can you please, when in actual fact, it's now a winner. And they're probably saying to me, Dad, can you get off technology? Can you get off Zoom? Can you just get off? But who would have thought? that it would be such a positive thing. But you know what? God is and will find a way. All we have to do is be available. You might say, well, I don't need it. And you know, when I was preparing this message, you might be sitting at home and say, well, look, I'm cool, I'm all right. But the thing that I really sense that God impressed on me is that you might need it, but someone else might need you. Someone else might need it. Someone else might need what God has put in your heart. Someone else might need a word in season that God has put on your mind. Why don't you ask God for that? Someone might need it. You are God's hands and feet in this time. Someone might be lonely. They might be lonely and they may need you. Someone might just need a conversation. Someone might need to be encouraged. Someone might need some teaching. Someone might need a chat. Someone might need some accountability. You know, in Revelation, it talks about how we overcome and how they overcame. And it says that they overcame by the blood and the power of their testimony. Sharing what God is doing in your life is a way of overcoming. They overcame through the power and through their testimony. Someone might need you to pray with them. They may need you to do that. Someone may need discipleship. Last week, Graham spoke about the haves and the have-nots, and there are ways that we can work in that space at the moment. And you might say, well, how do I get involved? Well, that's one way to get involved. If you're not already, you could call someone. You could give someone encouragement when you're down the shops. You could go for a walk for exercise with someone just to catch up, because they might need a conversation. There might be someone who has been stuck at home, as Andy mentioned earlier, with the kids, and they might be very well going out of their mind because of all the stuff that they've got to do at home, and they might need an adult conversation. You could join a life group. You can call me, call the office, call Andy. We'd love to help you. And you know, one of the other things that we're going to do over the next couple of weeks, we are starting something in addition to life groups. For those who are not already in a life group, specifically for this time, and they'll be called Connect Groups. We don't know how long it'll be before we can meet together in a larger gathering or even in homes. And it will just simply be, there will be one person or a couple who will to facilitate the group to meet in a Zoom chat for about 30 minutes on a day that best works for the group, once every 2 weeks. Let me say that again. There will be a person or a couple to facilitate a group to meet in a Zoom chat for about 30 minutes on a day that best works for the group, once every 2 weeks. To connect with others in the church community. Or there may be others who are not in the church community who need a conversation, who don't know God, who need an answer and want to connect. All we need to do is be available where we can. God will bring the growth and He will find a way. He always does and He always will. Acts 2, verse 47, what I started with. It says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I'm not sure where you're at today. In your homes, you might be in bed watching. But you know, it's just so important that we stay connected. And there are people out there looking for answers. and there are ways that we still can connect. God will find a way. He will grow His church. All we've got to do is be available. So I want to pray with you now. And I consider as I pray those at home who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, may not have Him as His Saviour and Lord. And if that's you today, I'm going to pray a short prayer. And you don't have to be in a church building, because the church is the people. God is there with you. And you can just say a prayer and repeat after me, and He can become your Lord and Saviour. So let's pray together, and I'll also pray about what we've just shared. Father, we just thank You for today, and I think of each and every person that is out and who is engaging in this process and watching this video. And Father, I pray that in Jesus' name, that for those who don't know You but want to make a decision, Lord, I pray right now that they would just be able to say, Jesus, can You come into my life? I want to make You Lord and Saviour. Lord, forgive my sin. Lord, I want to follow You for the rest of my days. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray for each and every person who's been listening today to this, who may be in a boat where it's saying, well, I'm okay, I don't need to engage in this process. But someone else might need You. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged and mobilised to see Your church grow. And we just thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit. And we don't have to be really gifted, because God's the one who brings the gift and the power. And so, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit fall on everyone who's watching right now. We just thank You for today. We thank You for Your word, that it is life-changing, that it is powerful. And Lord, it will not return to You void. And so let it be, God, we pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Julia, as Andy mentioned, and it's a great privilege to be able to share the communion message this morning. So if you haven't already, grab your juice, whatever it looks like, grab your bread, and let's do that. So this morning, I want to talk about silence. Before I go ahead, I just want to mention that some of the thoughts in my community message today have come out of a book called Tell with the Hustle by Christian author Jefferson Bethke. And he talks about why silence is so loud. It's quite interesting. Did you know that people are more inclined to eat faster when the music is louder? And that some restaurants even use this as a way to get more customers in and out of their doors. Did you know that some astronauts have silence training? Because it's sometimes gets so silent in space that they can actually hear their own organs and bones creaking. In 5 minutes of complete silence, we feel exposed and a little bit uncomfortable. And weirdly, we can start to make noise ourselves. Silence is where we are laid bare. Our thoughts can bubble up and we might not feel ready to confront them. But the uncomfortableness is actually a reason why we need to practice silence and solitude. Jesus withdrew to lonely places to pray. Nick talked about this in her communion message last week. She shared that Jesus experienced loneliness in His journey to the cross. But He also experienced loneliness and solitude on purpose during His ministry.
Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." And in Luke 5:16, it says, "Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." So continually, Jesus withdrew from people, from daily life activities, from the demands of His ministry to be alone with the Father and pray. He practiced solitude and silence. When we practice silence and remove ourselves from the noise and pray, we start to hear God's voice and not the noise. But silence is like a disease in the entertainment world. A 10-second silence is a nightmare to producers. We've all seen that awkward moment when a morning show has returned after an ad break and the hosts haven't got the cue to start talking, so they're just sort of smiling awkwardly. And it even happens here on our live stream sometimes, doesn't it? But noise creates buzz, and silence is condemned. But empty space doesn't always have to be filled. Jesus looked for these spaces of time to sit with his Father away from the noise and to draw his strength from those intimate moments in prayer. Communion is a time where we can center ourselves on Jesus, where we come and sit at his feet and give him praise for his sacrifice. We honor him and we acknowledge that he died on the cross and he rose again to make a way for relationship with us. There is healing in the silences, because when we are silent, we are listening. We aren't slaves to the noise. The enemy would love to keep us preoccupied with thoughts that deter us from God's presence. But right now, we're actually going to take 1 minute, 60 seconds, to be silent and sit with Jesus. So I encourage you right now, before we take communion, to just be still, to close your eyes, to prepare what you've got, and to breathe and listen. If you have small children, perhaps encourage them to just lay down on their backs or their bellies and just start to count their breathing and take that moment of silence. And maybe you might want to join in with them. But let's just be completely unhurried with Jesus for a moment. So let's do that right now, and then we will eat and drink together. Let's now take of the bread that represents Jesus' body, and the juice, or your chosen liquid, that represents his blood that was poured out for us and that covers us. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you opened the way for us to have a relationship with you. Lord God, we pray that today, through your global church body that comes around the world to meet with you, Lord, that more people will come to know who you are, and more people will come to know who they are in you as children of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen.